Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wholehearted Loving. I'm Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Georgiana.
Today we are going to be talking about helpful and unhelpful ways to discover and establish boundaries. Before we do that, we will do a body-based self-connection practice to connect with ourselves before we connect with each other and this podcast.
Right. I wasn't sure what I was going to share, but then I remembered this one and I was very excited because I like how this one makes me feel. So let's just bring awareness to the body. Where does it feel that it's resting on something, that's supported by something? And can that connection with your body remind you to also notice what's happening with your breath? This practice will involve a little bit of touch. So if you're open to it, just take one hand and place it. I would say you're going to make sort of, how do you describe this?
Your palm is flat and your thumb is pointing out. Okay. L. Is that?
Make it L. Yeah. Make an L with your palm.
With your fingers together and your thumb at a 90 degree angle.
Yeah. And then place it, find the spot where it feels good. Sort of just under like where the neck and the throat and like the front of the body meet. Right. With that sort of V shape. On what's that called?
Your clavicle.
Okay, on that fancy word. And that V shape sort of just gently cups, you know, that your neck, your throat, like just under there. On that fancy spot that Steph was talking about. And just notice how that feels. Maybe be there for a breath. And adjust, right? This is about finding the spot that feels good for you. Not that it must be at an exact spot somewhere. And then we're going to take the other hand. You take the, what's this part of your hand called? I feel like we're playing a game.
It's the heel of your palm.
The heel of your palm. This gets complicated. English is my second language. It's too much. The heel of my palm. I'm going to place, I know this spot because it's called my forehead. And then your fingers sort of just go over your hairline on onto your, you know, where your hair is, if you have hair on your head. And again, adjust so that both hands feel good. Adjust so that your body feels good. And this is a part of our head, brain, body that's like does a lot of work for us up here. So we're just offering it some energy, some warmth in the touch, some holding. And just notice how that feels. And then when it feels right for you to shift out of this position, allow yourself to follow that impulse and that draw to shift into something different. Notice what that thing is that you shift into. If you're shifting, maybe you chose to stay in that position. I notice I want a little bit of movement in my shoulders. Looks like Steph wants a little bit of hanging out with her head supported by her hand, but the side of the face instead of the forehead. So this part of the practice is also really important. The what next, right? What feels good next? And then you might notice, what's the next thing? What's the next feel good thing? For me, it's pushing my hands into my legs. Right, last episode we talked about incremental comfort. And this is, you know, along the same lines of what is next? What is the next choice? What is the next good feeling choice? What is the next right choice for you? And body is a great way to practice that. Right? Often we're trying to make decisions in life. What's the right choice? And we can employ our body to help us practice, build up that skill set. What's the next thing that feels good?
This is really important in establishing boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for my segue?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
Knowing how your body wants to feel, right? So we talk about this a lot. Boundaries are a reflection of knowing what our needs and feelings are. Mm-hmm. They're a byproduct of this self-awareness. And being able to share those is a skill that many of us were not taught, you know, that we need to learn because we want to be in relationship. We want to have our needs met.
Yeah. Can I say something just on that piece?
Yeah, for sure.
If I look back at how I watched boundaries being set in my family of origin, they were either aggressive or passive aggressive. They weren't set from a place of, and I use this language a lot when I work with parents, when we're setting boundaries with children, kind and firm. The kind and firm in the realm of boundaries did not exist growing up for me. I did not see that happening. I did not hear what words that means. I didn't hear the tone of voice that comes with. I didn't feel the energy of that in the home. Kind and firm boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
It was either you say something and it's either really loud, aggressive, and mean and rigid, or like you grunt and you moan and you roll your eyes and you slam the door and, you know, little things, or you say nothing and then lose your mind later. Much later, sometimes years later.
Yeah.
That's boundaries. This is so boundaries funny. From what I learned.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty typical. I mean, I think it's natural for humans. Like, we're adaptable. We want to be as generous with each other as we can be, generally speaking. So we don't often object to something until it's at the limit, right? We don't maybe know ourselves enough to go, okay, we're pushing into some territory that doesn't feel great for me. I would like to now ask for a pause and to regroup. You know, I want to proactively create my experience of life by being aware of my feelings and needs and expressing them with enough constancy that we never need to get to that point of I'm completely done with this and now I'm slamming the door or I'm making intense demands and there's no room for conversation, you know?
Mm-hmm. This is really neat to know, like, how that discomfort slowly builds up and whether you typically do anything while discomfort is slowly building, or you wait till after you've exploded, or you wait till you're about to explode. And it reminds me of a very sweet experience with my kids when they were young. Like, my oldest must have been 4 or something. We were playing hockey in the garage and he was the goalie, I believe. And maybe his brother was shooting on him or something. And all of a sudden, seemingly out of nowhere, I hear that a lot from parents, and out of nowhere, or I hear that from couples, out of nowhere, he reacted like that or she reacted like that. Well, seemingly out of nowhere, he just started losing it, like freaking out, like screaming about something that was hard to understand what he was saying. Like, what I could gather was he was upset about something. So I said, hey, bud, like, what are you worried about? Right? Because at that time, I knew him well enough to know that when he has a freak out, it's because he has a concern or a worry about something. And I noticed that when I spoke to him from that place, like, what is it that you're worried about? What are you concerned about? Then, like, something in him settled and he's like, oh, I can tell you what it is. But, like, on his own, he wasn't skilled enough yet at that time to, like, instead of the freak out, just, you know, calmly tell me what he was worried about. But he said, you know, my brother is like hitting all these balls and they're going behind the net and I'm going to lose all my balls. And I'm like, oh,
so sweet.
Right? So he had the foresight to know already much earlier that he's like, if I don't stop this now, I'm at risk potentially of having all my balls disappear in the garage. And I don't want that. And like, he wasn't very skilled at like communicating that. But what he did notice as a very young child was he had the foresight, right? To know that's not going to feel good for me. I don't want that to happen. So mm-hmm. I want to let my mom know now, before I've lost all of my balls in the garage, that this is not working for me.
Yeah.
And like, that's a really neat thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's a neat thing to be able to communicate to someone of like, I'm not at my limit yet, but I know that if we proceed in this fashion, I'm probably going to get to a place that doesn't feel good for me. So I'd like to address that now before we get to that place.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And think about how unusual it would be to be confronted with somebody who's like, I hear your feelings and needs and I don't give a crap, you know? Usually, you know, and how diffused it becomes, you know, he's expressed that now. You can take that on. You can say, you know, oh, I hear your concern that you're going to lose all your balls. And I can guarantee mm-hmm. you that we're not going to let that happen. You know, your concern mm-hmm. is my concern. And then here are the practical tools I can give you right now to manage the safety mm-hmm. of your balls or whatever it is.
Right. And it worked because I was like, okay, well, how about we go grab those ones that have already gone behind the net? And then we shift this part of the net over to that part of the wall so nothing can actually get past there. It's like, okay, I'm good. We can play again.
Great.
Right?
Yeah.
So he knew. He knew that he was feeling worried that all his balls are going to disappear and he was going to lose them all. And he knew that he needed the reassurance that that wasn't going to happen. He needed us to find a solution that the things that were really important to him were going to be well taken care of and not lost.
Beautiful.
And you know, when he could communicate that in his four-year-old way, I was like, I can work with you on that. I'm happy to work with you on that.
Yeah, I can work with you on that. I'm happy to work with you on that. We can't get to that place if we don't know what's going on for the other person, right? We can't work with what we don't know. Or worse, mm-hmm. we know something that is not accurate because maybe we've been directly given inaccurate representations. It's not unusual for people to really misrepresent their feelings because they're afraid of losing whatever it is they're afraid of or losing connection or whatever it is. So I think it's pretty common for people to misrepresent their feelings and needs in hopes of keeping the peace or not having to have difficult conversations.
I find often when you're working with people who deeply care about you and want to generally work with you in life, if you come from a sincere place, from a vulnerable place, so I'm feeling this, I'm needing this, and you're not attacking anybody, generally people are going to be like, okay, either help me understand more, or I would love to help you find a solution that either feels good for you or feels good for both of us. Yeah. Right. And if someone's not able to come to you from that place, either they don't care to establish that kind of relationship with you, or they're dysregulated and they need some help or time to regulate themselves first and come back to that part of them that does care and wants to work together. Right. Yeah. But I find that generally speaking, like, you either get someone who's willing or at least willing to settle themselves so that they're willing to do the thing or work together with you, or you're going to get a very good information about how someone is not a good fit for you.
Yes. Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. So this topic came up for me because I'm a person who, at this point in my life, I certainly wasn't always this way. I very much know what I think what I feel and what I need. And I know when I don't have that information and I'm able to say, I don't know what I think or feel or need right now. Can you help me or can you give me a minute? You know, mm-hmm. When I'm interacting with people who are also that way, it's a smooth, lovely breeze and everything feels really great. When I'm interacting with people who are not that way, maybe they don't know what they feel or need or they can't ask, I find it very challenging. So what this brought up in terms of a topic for me was, and I see this all over the place. I see this especially with people who are starting to date people and they maybe aren't so firm in what would feel good to them in a relationship and just pursuing those good feelings and good fits. And instead, they're probably more looking to make love happen, you know, and it sort of doesn't matter if it's a good fit or not. I just want to know what I have to do or say or be in order to make this work, you know? And so the topic specifically that I wanted to talk about was how sometimes people can state a boundary as the self-expression. So instead of having a conversation, developing mutual understanding, exposing both parties' feelings, thoughts, and needs, and then working together to know what would feel good, it's like, I've said nothing about how I think and feel. I'm just going to establish right now a firm boundary and a set of rules in order to feel presumably safe in this moment.
Yeah, I think there's going to be times when you owe someone nothing other than the boundary, right? True. And or it's a more of an emergency kind of situation and you're just stating, like, this is how it's got to be. This is not okay. This is what I want, right? Yeah. But for the most part in everyday life, I don't think boundaries need to be presented in such a rigid, demanding way. I'm just coming in here to announce this is now the boundary.
Right.
Right. Haven't really felt it in my life or noticed it working when I'm working with couples that way of establishing boundaries actually makes someone want to work with you and come closer to you in connection.
Right.
Right. And also with children, like, it doesn't draw children to be like, let me work together with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to sit here and throw around and shout out demands, essentially, without giving me any context, without really placing any energy in the building of connection with me. And you're expecting me to take this boundary and be like, okay, great idea.
Yeah.
Generally, I don't think humans like that feeling.
No, I think it, for me, when I'm in receipt of that, I feel confused and shut out.
So if I look at an example in my life, like in a past relationship, there were boundaries being made. And how do I want to share this? They always felt like I was not a participant in the relationship or in the problem or the challenge. I'm sitting here thinking like things are fine, and then I get delivered a very rigid, one-sided, unilaterally decided thing that's going to now be the boundary. And I remember feeling just sort of shocked, being like, where did this come from? I wasn't even aware of a problem. And it just felt a bit icky to be now told this is just how it's going to be. Right. And I remember thinking, like, don't we get to have a conversation together about what wasn't feeling good for you, what my intentions were, what your intentions are, what our common goal is, and to see and try to collaborate on what might feel good. And it was none of that. And those boundaries never felt good to me. Of course, I want to respect and honor someone's boundaries, but if I'm looking at which boundaries make me really feel respected and respect the other person and feel a desire to really honor that boundary, those ones were not the ones.
Right.
Yeah. Right? But the ones that say, hey, like, I just want to share with you my intention. My intention is that you understand me better. You know, I see that we have a shared goal of XYZ. I see we have a shared goal of wanting to find something that feels good for both of us. Mm-hmm. What feels challenging for me about the current situation is XYZ. In my mind, one of the ideas I had was this. What do you think? How do you feel? Have you been experiencing it the same way? Like, that just feels more collaborative. And my sense is, like, there's a real beauty in being able to, like, collaboratively find the way together instead of one person feeling like, I have this problem or this challenge. I'm not even going to talk to the other person about it. And then I'm going to decide right here on my own what now is the boundary, what needs to happen. I'm going to lay it down in front of them, and there's no room for a conversation.
Yeah.
That's just never really worked that well.
It doesn't work that well. You know, the subtext, there's two subtexts to these two different modes of operating. One is love and trust, and the other is fear and distrust. And that's going to be what's created depending on how you're going about these things, right? If one person is establishing a one-sided boundary without communication, the implication there is you don't care about me enough or love me enough to help me get what I need in this situation. Instead, I need to set up a harsh rule or whatever it is to protect myself, you know? And that can be hurtful for the other person to hear. And it can be really hard to work with, as you say. There's not really anywhere to go from there.
Yeah, I remember being presented with these boundaries. And like when I dug a little deeper and asked some more questions, and like I felt like I was like pulling teeth trying to get more clarity, they would share the problem from their perspective. And I was like, I'm not sure why this needs to be a problem, because if you talk to me about it, we could have found a resolution. Like, this is not how I experience things. I don't want you to experience it like that, right? I want you to have a good experience. And like, I'm happy to work with you to find a way that feels good for you. Like, I just am left feeling baffled of why this person felt the need to like come to some solution totally on their own to a problem that I didn't, like, they thought I had a problem with something that I'm like, I don't actually have a problem with that. And if you would have talked to me about it, I could have reassured you that that's not a problem for me. But when someone doesn't come with their concerns or their worries or the stories they're making up in their mind for them to be checked, then I have no opportunity to say, hey, this problem that you think is a problem, like, I don't find it a problem. Like, I don't want it that way either. The thing that you don't want, I don't want either. And if we would have talked about it, you would have known. But if you make the assumption that it has to be that way and I'm not budging on that, and then you think this is the only way to solve it, then I'm just left really confused and sad.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And I remember this is a pattern that happened often, and I would say, like, why didn't you come talk to me about it? Because we could have resolved that. Like, it's such a yucky feeling, I find, when you realize this was resolvable together. Like, it didn't have to get that ugly. It didn't have to get that cold. You know, such rigid boundaries didn't need to be laid down. We could have just had a conversation. I would have been happy to hear what doesn't feel good for you. And I would be happy to like find something that works for both of us. And I guess what I realized was when I really looked at our relationship dynamic, and I knew this, you know, over the years, but it really highlighted it for me, is this person who I was with like did not trust that their needs mattered and that their feelings mattered. Just in general, not just with me, but in general, in life, in relationships. They didn't trust that people want to work collaboratively together to find a mutually good feeling solution.
Yeah.
And so they made everything into a problem that they had to solve themselves. And it had to be with really rigid boundaries without any consultation with the actual person they're in relationship with.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how do we have a relationship when it's all one-sided and you're making all these decisions on what needs to happen without any consultation with me?
Yeah.
It was tough.
It's hugely tough. It's an extension of a worldview, and that worldview is both optional and informed by our past history, but it doesn't need to be the way it is, right? So this guy you're describing, you just said he didn't trust that his needs mattered to other people, right? This makes me think of women who have dated men who maybe just want to get in their pants. So they move forward into the dating world and they establish a firm boundary. I am not sleeping with you on the first date. And that's a good boundary to establish if you're dating a guy who only wants to sleep with you on the first date. But if you've ended up connecting online or whatever with some guy who actually just wants to get to know you, that's going to be a really jarring boundary to have delivered. And, I think this is so significant because part of creating the life we want is occupying the space we want to be in, right? And it's not about, I'm not going to sleep with you on the first date. It's about, I want to get to know you and see where that takes you, you know, and trust that if you're faced with somebody who's just trying to get into your pants, you can go, I'm not interested in this. Thank you. Don't call me again or whatever it is, you know, but the preventative establishing that as a means of communicating feelings and needs that you're not able to more proactively and possibly in a more timely way communicate, I think is a big challenge for people.
When I hear you say that, it makes me think of just putting up concrete walls around you before they're even necessary.
Yeah.
Right? No one's even talking about that right now. And all of a sudden, all these walls get put up.
Yeah.
And like, when I think about that, like just how that gets in the way of deeper connection and how sad that makes me feel really sad because ultimately I feel like people want deeper connection. But when we're operating from, you know, fueled from by a place of fear, we think I need to set up all these like brick walls immediately so I won't get taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Instead of just noticing moment to moment, how do I feel with this person? When something feels off, like, and I share that, like, are they respectful of it? Do they work with me? Oh, they're working with me. Great. I don't have to put up big walls. Oh, like I'm seeing a pattern that they really don't respect when, you know, when I share how I feel. Maybe it's time to like set some more boundaries here, keep a little bit more distance. Maybe it's time to shift my attention towards other people, right? It's just like a softer, gentler, like it's just an obvious, that's not the next thing that feels good. Instead of like, let me assume nothing's going to feel good and burn it down right away. Right. And I want to speak about boundaries because I feel like my boundaries were very weak when like years ago, like I was just didn't want conflict. Didn't want to make people feel bad. I just sort of go with whatever. And then when I realized, well, I don't want to live life that way, I like flip-flopped like a total 180 to like really, really rigid boundaries and more of what you're saying. Like, I'm going to let you know at the very beginning the shit I'm not going to put up with immediately. And then I realized, like, that is not nice energy to live in either. For in the beginning, when you're just learning, it feels a little bit empowering, feels like you're strong because you've never given yourself permission to have that stronger voice. But then I realized, like, I've taken it to an extreme now the other way. I don't want to live all braced up all the time. I just want to meet the situation with what's needed in that moment.
Yeah.
Right? Have my boundaries or requests fit what's actually happening in front of me.
Yeah.
And assume that, well, maybe not even assume, but just read the signs that someone is either willing to work with me or not. Like, am I willing to look for signs that someone's open to working with me? Mm-hmm. Or do I already have signs that someone's not open? That's good information.
Yeah.
Right. But I think, yeah.
That can be such a, I mean, it takes work to get to that place, right? One of my favorite things when we hold our women's groups or in whatever trainings we're doing is watching people go from having no boundaries, super porous, flimsy boundaries, to this intense, rigid, now I've got all these boundaries. Here are my rules. If you want to connect with me, here's what's required. And now I can just look at that and go, great, they're on their trajectory. You know, their pendulum has swung. It's going to settle. And they'll be able to be more present once they've spent a lot of time firmly establishing these boundaries they've never established in their life. And it's just a point in time. But as you're saying, it is a much more subtle thing. It's now, for me, it's very infrequently, I can't even think of the last time I've had to set up a rule. It's more I just take myself where it feels right to be, you know? Mm-hmm. The boundary, it's like I'm a pool of water and I'm flowing in ways that feel true to me instead of having to be bound in by swimming pool walls.
Yeah. And like, if this doesn't make sense right now, that's totally okay. I think it doesn't really make sense until it does. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, it makes me think of like when you say we've watched these people go from flimsy and porous to like really rigid and sort of aggressive and mean.
Yes.
You know? And then we know because these people are committed to this work and they're practicing staying connected to their body. And we know eventually if you're committed to self-discovery and, you know, self-ownership and body connection, you're going to feel at some point, this isn't it either. Yeah. Right. And you're probably going to find that adjustment, that fine tuning. But there's also people who flip to the other side, but they don't stay in this place of learning about body connection. They don't stay in the place of learning about regulating the nervous system. They don't stay in the place of self-ownership. And they just now think that the way to live and the way to live a safe life is to be very rigid, very boundaried, and unilaterally deciding how everything must be in relationship, right?
Yeah.
And I have never met a person who lives that way who would describe their relationships as fulfilling.
Yeah.
I've met many of those people and they're sweet, lovely people. And when I ask them like, okay, what is the impact of asserting your boundaries in that way all the time? Like, does it actually give you the kind of life and the kind of relationships you want? Nobody has ever said yes.
Yeah.
Right. And so if I present, like, what if there's an option to feel safe and respected and have your needs and feelings be communicated clearly and taken into account? Would you prefer that if it allows for like deeper connection? I've never heard anyone say, no, I don't want that. Right? So you want that. We just got to learn how to grow that trust in yourself, grow that trust in others that your feelings and needs matter. When you believe that your feelings and needs matter, the way you present boundaries is totally different.
Yes. Yeah. It's with love and trust. Totally. Mm-hmm. I think there's a real importance for a lot of people in establishing their autonomy. And that will give you great information, but it's not the end point. Mm-hmm. For me, the end point is connection.
And also noticing, like, if I have to set a boundary with someone by saying, you cannot treat me that way, that is absolutely not okay. And that happens, like, as a pattern, I think it's important to ask ourselves, like, really, is this the thing? Is this the thing that really feels aligned for me? Because I'd rather be in a relationship dynamic, whether it's intimate partner or friendships or with colleagues and coworkers and friends, like where I can say, you know what, that thing that happened the other night really didn't feel good. Like it would feel so much better for me if XYZ, like, are you open to that? Can we talk about that? And for them to be like, yes, like help me understand like what was going on for you. How was that for you? What would feel better? That's the kind of dynamic that I want to be in and have more of in my life.
Absolutely. Right?
And also not have more of in just the other people being like that for me, but like my ability to trust that I can speak that way to people.
Yeah.
Right. And that I don't have to be like, it's not okay for you to treat me like that. Like sometimes you might have to say that to someone, hopefully once, maybe at most.
Yeah.
But like ideally, I don't think that that's what lights us up. And the sad thing is some of us were treated so poorly before in past relationships or in our family of origin that we feel that that is normal.
Yeah.
That's just a normal relationship where you have to scream and shout to be heard, where you have to set boundaries in rigid and mean ways to be heard or respected, if you even call that respect. And like, I'm just a firm believer it doesn't have to be that way.
Totally.
But we have to be willing to grow the muscles that allow for us to believe it can be different.
Yeah. Yeah, and openness to things being different than we think they are, you know? It would have been impossible for me to believe 20 years ago the things that I believe today and the amount of love and trust I can expect from the people around me. Even where it existed, I couldn't see it. I was seeing it as some contortion that matched with the pain I was feeling, you know, and the dismissal and the not knowing of myself, you know? That's a hard place to be in. I definitely mourn the way that I used to see the world, and I celebrate the way I see it now. And it's painful when I see people. So it's two streams, actually. Depending on where I know the person's at in their journey, it might bring me joy to see these firm boundaries being established because I know it's leading them somewhere good. But when that feels like a new established pattern that's going to be a lifestyle, it makes my heart hurt for them. There's so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Something softer is available, soft and safe. And that's the thing. Soft and safe is probably never like, what? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Right. When I think about it, like growing up, I felt like the only time my voice was heard and that my needs would really be listened to was when I lost my mind, like freaked out as a kid and a teenager. And I didn't realize that I brought that into intimate relationship as an adult, right? I would be like peaceful, sweet girl for like the longest time. And then when I would be like hitting my limit, I would like lose it.
Yeah.
And I think it would scare me too, because I'm like, what the heck is happening? Right? It would scare me partly because I'm not used to living in that energy, but then also part of it felt normal because I'm like, oh, this is how you get heard, right? Yeah. In human relationship. And I remember one relationship that I was in, this man said, you know, you could just tell me what's wrong and ask me for what you need. I'd be happy to like talk to you about it and give it to you. You don't have to get to that point where you want to like scream at me and chop my head off. And like, I reflected on that and I was like, wow, that really comes from a place of like, I never felt heard unless I was screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
I had to rewire that pattern. I had to rewire that pattern of, oh, like I could just talk to someone and tell them what's bothering me.
Yeah. So it sounds like you believed him when he said that. Is that so?
Well, I think luckily I was at a point at that place where I had already been very well practiced at self-reflection. So when he pointed that out, I like went to look for patterns and I was like, oh, I see where this one comes from. Mm-hmm. And when he said, you know, I'll listen to you. Like I want to make things good for you. I believed it because when I went to look for evidence of that with him, I was like, oh yeah, for the most part, like we do resolve things. Like he does want me to feel good in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times, it's not that every time I lost it, but there were times where I was able to say, hey, like this doesn't feel good. Like, and he was like, okay, I'm on it. We can work on that. I can work on that.
Yeah.
Like, oh. So that was a helpful realization for me of when I was bringing too much force and aggression when it wasn't needed.
Mm.
Like this person's actually happy to hear me talk about what's bothering me.
Yeah. That's a good
That was sort of newish for me.
I bet. I can imagine. Yeah. So my current self needs that, loves it, expects it to be present effectively. My yeah. old self would have been these dramatic eye rolls. Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. You're ready to just receive my emotions. And I was hardened. Like, that's a good cue. If you hear that softness, love, and trust are available to you, and your response is like my old response of eye rolling and like disdain and disbelief, that could well be a sign that you've been hardened by emotional neglect, by others, by yourself. You've not been prioritizing mm-hmm. your feelings and needs. You might not know what they are, and you're expecting them to not be met by the world. And I want everyone to yeah. know that that is sometimes true, sometimes not, and you get to choose where you spend your energy and where you put yourself.
Mm-hmm. I think they're very good self-reflection questions, right? Do I trust that I matter to people? My needs matter to people. My feelings matter to people. Do I trust that people want to work with me to resolve situations? Do I trust that my comfort and my pleasure and my safety matter to people? And if you notice, hey, like the answer to that is an overwhelmingly, consistently a no, then it's a good indication that you're probably really hard on yourself, hard on other people, and life could be easier if you're willing to start practicing how to grow that trust in yourself and in other people. Like, a lot of hard stuff happened to you, if that's what you believe about life and the world. And a lot of stuff that wasn't fair and shouldn't have happened, happened to you, if that's what you believe about the world. And it's really important to be generous and gracious with yourself and find loving support. But you don't have to live in a way where you believe that everyone is out to get you and your needs never matter, right? That's a really hard way to live.
Yeah.
I think it's a really unfulfilling way to live. I remember asking this person who I was in a relationship with before, like, what do other people appreciate about you? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know? Like, to me, it was an odd, I didn't understand. Like you don't have a sense of what your friends think about you or like about you or value about you. He's like, well, no, not really. I wouldn't really be able to say. I'm like, well, has anyone ever told you? Like, would you ask them? And like his response was something that was so telling. He's like, well, even if they told me, I wouldn't trust them.
Ooh, oh, that hurts.
And I was like, oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Right? And like, this is not a judgment thing or a shame thing, but this is a, it's almost like a, the dash light on the car is flashing saying, there's been some hurt here. There's been some hurt in your life for you to say, if my friend said something lovely about me, I wouldn't trust them.
Check and engine. Hopefully,
check engine, right? Hopefully, like, let's check what's up.
Yeah.
And like, what needs to be healed and repaired so that if someone were to ask you one day, what do you think your friends value about you? You could proudly and with confidence say what that is and trust that to be true.
Yeah. Oh, I want everyone to have these experiences.
Me too. Me too. Oh, boundaries. Well, I just want to, I think, just acknowledge that the process. Like if I look at how I used to set boundaries, how I set boundaries now, it's evolved so much. I don't think I ever would have trusted that I could speak boundaries in such a soft, loving way and have some like, and that that's sufficient and good and enough for someone to be like taking me seriously. And to know that when I speak a boundary in a soft, loving way, that's also firm and clear. If repeatedly I get the sense that you're not willing to work with me, that's my sign to exit. Before I didn't know that the sign was flashing really brightly in front of my face, like exit now, exit immediately. And I would just hang around and hang around and hang around and try to get my needs met some other way and hoping and seeing the potential in someone and thinking one day this person is actually a kind-hearted person, which I've never doubted. One day it's all going to fall into place. Like, yeah, no. Some people can really love you and not be willing to change old patterns, old protective patterns.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. This is a hot take I have, which is that love is not enough. And it's.
Oh, yeah. I believe that love is not enough.
Yeah. Which is too damn bad.
It is. If love was enough, man, I'd have a very different life.
Yeah.
I used to even think like desire for the same thing plus love meant enough.
Not
like,
quite.
No, that doesn't either.
Yeah.
And then I thought willingness and desire and love, right? And also no.
Yeah.
almost, but not quite. I have had to recognize almost, but not quite. And what I see now is there needs to be love there. There needs to be a desire, you know, to like work together and a willingness to work together, but also the ability, the skill set.
Yeah.
And the good thing is skills. Every human being can learn skills. So yeah. It's possible. The possibility is there. But people have to be willing on a consistent, sustainable basis to keep building the skills that are required to build something healthy together. Otherwise, love is definitely not enough.
Yeah.
Desire and like valuing the same things, also not enough. Willingness to work on it, not enough.
It's true. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, my wish for everyone is that you can have your feelings expressed and your needs met and that you can trust that that possibility exists and that you can start to build that for yourself. I think there will be a lot of people listening for whom this feels incredible, like not credible. And it's a process and a skill set you can build. But I think there's a bit of worldview wrapped up in there as well. Like if you added, so what you just described as the ability, I think you could also think of that as worldview. I think I probably think of it in that way as well, as sort of a shifting. So the ability to suspend your existing beliefs and try on a different way, trusting that other people might feel love and trust where you feel distrust and fear, and that it can be safe to lean into that.
I think this is a really important point you make. You know, we work with a lot of people who are still very much run by fear, understandably so, no shame in that. And they feel a bit stuck because they can't quite believe that that it could be a different way, right? And so the practice we walk people through is, can I honor, part of me is really scared that, you know, I'm going to be stuck in this kind of relationship dynamic forever. And we'll always ask, are you open? Is there even 1% of you open to the possibility that it could be different? Open to the possibility that your needs might matter to somebody? And I've also never met anyone who said, no, I'm absolutely not open to the possibility. Right? If they might say, oh, I don't know, then we might say, okay, do you have a desire to be open to that possibility? And when we keep digging, it's there. Openness and desire is there, and that's all. You just stay connected to, there's at least 1% in me that desires that possibility, that I could believe that one day I meet someone where my needs would matter with them. And then all of a sudden, you're not stuck. All of a sudden, there's an opening.
There's a path.
And every person who's walked through that practice reports to us, wow, my body feels totally different now. They don't actually feel stuck. They feel possibility. They feel energy coursing through their body. They feel a sense of excitement and calm, even though none of the circumstances in their life have actually changed. But they now have tapped into a part of them that's open to possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the worldview has expanded in that moment to contain possibility. Yay!
Yay!
Okay, it's wrap-up time. I'm establishing a boundary. It's time to wrap things up. Seemingly out of nowhere. Do you have a body-based connection practice we can do to close?
Yeah, I'm doing it already. So it's just a very gentle sweeping, using the hand to sweep along the body, whatever part of your body you want that to be. And then I always like sweep, squeeze, toss. So what are you sweeping off of you? I like to squeeze to really feel it. And then I do a little toss. I don't need this. I don't need to carry this right now. Right? There's a gentleness even in this. It's not like an aggressive throwing out parts. It's just like, oh, I don't need this. Don't need to carry this right now. Sweep, squeeze, toss.
Thank you. Yeah. Intention is so important. Get rid of all that energy that you don't need. Thanks, Gigi. Anything else you want to say?
I don't think so. Maybe just, you know, notice whether there's a part of you open to the possibility of things being different, of things being better, things feeling better. Even if you're scared, even if you feel unsure.
Thanks, G.
All right.
Okay. Well, I hope this has been helpful for everybody. Please do like, follow, and subscribe. And if anything we've said here today has been helpful for you, please share with somebody that you care about. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.